The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.
Foreign scavengers looting, pillaging and raping America. Donald Trump lays out his rationale for global tariffs. What detail did we hear? Other members' speaking time. The new slot passes off largely without interruption. So what form did any protest take? And a bill seeking inspection of flights for arms passing its third stage in the Shannon. We'll hear from one of the authors on that. We'll have all of that and more on tonight's Late Debate. Joining me in studio tonight are Senator Mark Duffy of Fine Gael, Alice Mary Higgins, Independent Senator, Sean Keyes, Executive Director of Progress Ireland and Financial Commentator, and Christina Finn, Political Editor with thejournal.ie. We do want to hear from you. Do get in touch. You can text us on 51551, WhatsApp us on 0870 32 32 32, or find us on Blue Sky at Late Debate RTE, and you can watch the programme now at rte.ie/radio1. And if you want to give us your thoughts on how you think these tariffs might affect the sector you work in, or if you want to throw a question to the panel to put them on the spot, we'll do our best to put in your thoughts, observations and questions during the programme. But first, the speech that had been ruminated and masticated over and debated in advance, much speculation about it. Here's the key tract of the hour of Donald Trump's speaking time.
China, 67%. That's tariffs charged to the USA, including currency manipulation and trade barriers. So 67%. So we're going to be charging a discounted reciprocal tariff of 34%. I think, in other words, they charge us, we charge them, we charge them less. So how can anybody be upset? European Union, they're very tough, very, very tough traders. They rip us off. It's so sad to see. 39%. We're going to charge them 20%, so we're charging them essentially half.
President Donald Trump running through the charts, and anybody nostalgic for those Top of the Pops eras, he ran through the charts. Christina, we saw a long list. It was hard to make out the writing on it at first. The optics of it resembled maybe if anyone has ever brought a child to an adult restaurant for the first time and they grapple with the larger menu when they're making their food choice. It looked like that, but obviously what was on the menu was a lot less appetizing. So walk us through what little detail we got from the speech today.
Yeah, well, it was difficult sometimes to glean what was being said, seeing as he was going on there for almost an hour. But what the main points are, obviously for Europe, it is what was expected, what the government were expecting, is the 20% tariff from the US. Interestingly, I suppose from our perspective as well, the UK is coming in with the 10% tariff. And then he went through other countries, such as China, as you mentioned there, with the 34% tariff, Vietnam 46%, Taiwan 32%, and Japan 24%. A lot of the time during his speech, he was sort of acting like he was being generous and, you know, doing the good thing by only hitting people with half of perhaps what he's saying the US is being hit with, complimenting, I suppose, nations for getting good deals and things that he would have tried for himself, but that he said he has to make the correction. I think, interestingly as well, the 25% tariff on foreign-made cars. And also, it was picked up there that he wants to give a interest tax rebate for people that buy American cars as well. So I think that's a message, I suppose, to consumers in the US side. Reaction, I suppose, is coming in pretty much immediately from a lot of those sectors. IBEC, Danny McCoy, saying that he was deeply disappointed with what was announced this evening from Donald Trump, and he's urging Ireland and Europe to act with urgency to get around that negotiating table. Some positives, I suppose, and hope there in saying that, you know, given where we are, where the economy is at the moment, slower growth that is expected to come from the impact of this, he's saying can be absorbed. But he said COVID and Brexit style measures that we had done previously might be learning points. And also picking up that he said time bound short term work supports might be needed. So I think we're already seeing sort of movement here on where people will expect quick and swift action to you know, a calm and measured approach seems to be what people are urging for this evening.
Yeah. Ian Talbot, CEO of Chambers Ireland, saying the tariffs present an immediate challenge and it's essential the Ireland and the EU respond with calm and resolve and utilise the advantages of the single market, continuing to diversify into new international markets. Maybe we'll get into some of the meaning of that later in the programme. But to you first, Sean Keyes, what jumped out at you? I mean, the 20% is kind of, in the recent ESRI document, the worst case scenario, I think, they modelled with their figures. What jumps out at you, though, in terms of its immediate implications for Ireland, or what other detail would you like to see?
Well, for Ireland, I think it probably could have been worse, just in that what we would have been scared of is to be separated or singled out in some way from Europe. And then he, you know, going into it, we might have worried that there would be, he has talked a lot about pharma in recent weeks. So we might have worried about sectoral special targets, tariffs for pharma or something like that, that would put us at odds with the rest of Europe. So we're in the EU, we're in a gang. And the EU, in fairness to it, one of the things it is good at is trade negotiations. It's a massive market and it is capable of throwing its weight around. Now, that's sort of assuming that this is actually a good faith negotiation between the US and the EU, and that they will, like rational people, come around a table and hammer out a deal that's mutually beneficial to both of them. But then you're getting into the second thing, like, you know, is he just a mad king? And has he just come up with... is his rationale for all of this just totally impossible to deal with, and is this a thing that all this list of international trading partners, is it a thing where we can actually get around a table with them and negotiate something that's mutually beneficial?
Formulate your thoughts on what you think it might be while I go to the other panelists on that as well. I mean, we'll, over the course of the programme, we'll try and look at, you know, the indirect effect on Ireland and the political aspects and negotiations in the European Union, maybe what we should be pushing for in negotiations, how we should try and shape the aims of those negotiations, and maybe, you know, who benefits from all of this. But let's start off with the direct effect on sectors in Ireland. Mark Duffy, what jumps out at you when you see 20% tariffs? What would your greatest concern be on that?
Well, obviously, Ireland is a very open economy, and we've benefited greatly from foreign direct investment from the US in particular. So what is important, first of all, is that we have composure and that we don't have a knee-jerk reaction to this, that we work effectively and collegiately with our partners across Europe. This isn't a surprise. We knew that something like this was coming down the tracks. Now that we have clarity, we need to take advantage of the diplomacy that we have displayed, I suppose, in Washington only recently, and use that to our advantage. We have 50,000 employees working in the pharmaceutical sector, for example, in Ireland. But the footprint of American FDI right across Ireland is very strong and is embedded. In my hometown of Ballina, we have Hollister Pharmaceuticals, for example, who are there since 1976, deeply embedded within the community and in the economy, most importantly. But from a US standpoint, goods are not just made in Ireland and sold from Ireland to the US. They're part of an integrated supply chain. So this is going to have a negative impact for America and American consumers as much as it will for the 450 consumers right across the EU. So we need to have composure and a calm and measured approach, working with our counterparts right across Europe. And that's what we will begin to do as we move forward in a collective manner.
Okay, Alice Mary Higgins, what jumps out at you? I mean, there had been some speculation as to the number, but I mean, what's your read on it now?
I suppose for me, there's the immediate and then there's the medium and the short term. So in the immediate, of course, we are looking at, you know, trying to influence, I understand that over the next 2 weeks, the Commission are looking and looking at what their responses will be, and Ireland needs to be making sure we speak to our interests in relation to what response the European Commission has. You know, for example, there's the farmers mentioned, but there's also industry like the spirits industry is one that Ireland's very exposed on because, of course, previous EU tariffs had focused on that luxury goods space, because that's, you know, rather than this kind of very blanket and very blunt approach that we've seen Trump take. So there's engaging in that. There's engaging in what we did, you know, what we saw during, and Ireland did quite well actually during Brexit, which was sector by sector analysis, you know, from everything from, you know, we remember at the time we were like, we talked about the mushroom industry for 2 hours in the Shannon of, you know, sector by sector, what is the supply chain? Where do we fit in? And what are the alternatives? So there's that negotiation. But I think we would be a mistake if we solely focused on our negotiations with the US, because we're also in a moment whereby, for example, Ireland has been invited to be part of the G20 and to engage with the G20 this year. That was an invitation that didn't come from our EU partners. It came from South Africa. And that's really important in terms of those other, that point that Ian Talbot was making about the new international markets, the new engagements, because this is hitting everywhere. Trump is burning, or if not burning, certainly affecting bridges right across the world. And so there is going to be a move around in terms of international markets. And Ireland can play a role and build new relationships there. And then maybe in the, this is the slightly further term, just where I think we need to be looking to is, a lot of that, what we shouldn't do, I think, is chase the dynamic, like bring in things like chasing LNG, you know, trying to make ourselves more exposed and more vulnerable to the US.
Sorry, and by that, and just to be absolutely clear about that, you mean try and appease the US by somehow, you know, the example you cite, LNG, by buying
LNG,
that in the hope that it will ameliorate the effects.
Making ourselves more exposed in that regard. And I think that's for Europe as a whole, as well as Ireland, that's one to learn. And also, the fact is, on competitiveness can't be a race to the bottom, because alongside these tariffs, we're also seeing the huge deregulatory agenda from the United States. And actually, I think in the medium to longer term, real innovation, real competitiveness is about existing in, for example, a real world in which there is diversity. Women exist. People of different races exist. Climate change is a physical reality. I think Europe can be in a position to actually drive innovation in some of these areas. And I think that's one, even if we look to the science area, the farm area, some of the best scientists are leaving the United States right now.
All right. Christina, yeah?
Yeah, no, I just think from listening to Donald Trump there, you know, you wouldn't think that this is going to have any impact other than great things for America from what he was saying. While the reality is, you know, these tariffs are going to hurt the United States. You know, he mentioned that they don't make any medicines in the country. That was the point he made. By putting tariffs on, it's only going to increase prices for the people that he's, you know, saying this is a good thing for. And I was speaking to a few people in government.
It's probably a slight exaggeration as well to say they don't make any medicines in the country.
Yeah, I'm sure you could take a pinch of salt with a lot of things perhaps that he had said. But I was speaking to some people in government about, you know, their engagement with the pharmaceutical industry. And yes, they said they are definitely worried, but there wasn't a catastrophe feeling from them, which I think is probably something to be welcomed. But I think casting, you know, our sights forward in terms of what this might mean for us, like I was in Leinster House this week, Pascal Donoghue was out speaking to the reporters yesterday outside government buildings, and it's probably, you know, one of the most pessimistic I've seen him in quite a while. Now, there are people within Fine Gael that says he's, you know, prudent Pascal, and, you know, maybe that's his
sure
calling card. But you could already see, we've already heard those sort of those talking points about budget coming in October. I suppose we can all remember the election promises. They're still fresh in our minds from the election and all the great things that we were promised. I would not be surprised if over the next couple of months, a lot of those things that we were promised are people that
right
said that they were voting for Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, you know, will be put perhaps on the long finger or pushed out to a degree because of this, you know, this cautious sort of nature that I think the government is definitely going to be right walking
the
next
quote,
while.
The quote-unquote hated USC might be staying in the room for a bit longer. Sean, I just, for the purposes of everyone's understanding of it, so we've got this 10% baseline global tariff. That's the that's the minimum tariff that applies to any country, as Donald Trump has laid it out. So even in the case of Australia, which the US says applies a 10% tariff to it, they will apply 10% reciprocal tariff instead of the half rate that they've applied elsewhere. So everybody pays a minimum of 10. The European rate is 20%. As far as the auto tariffs go of 25%,
you know, is that 25% for that sector alone as an increase on that, or is that, you know, on top of, you know, could it be more than 25%? Do we understand that yet?
Well, I can't say I do. I'm, as yourself, Colm, I'm interpreting it from the talk, from his speech. What he said about autos was that was the first one he announced. He announced a special 25% tariff on auto parts, and then he went through the geographical tariffs. He didn't explain the relationship between the two. So you could interpret it both ways. Right. It could be 45%, let's say, for a German car, or it could be 25%, depending on how you interpret his views on it.
Okay, we didn't hear Pharma mentioned. I mean, do you find that encouraging? Do you think somebody, you know, pointed him towards the 2004 World Trade Organization agreement on pharmaceuticals and said, look, maybe let's leave that one off the list. It's not going to be popular amongst, you know, he mentioned Medicare, Medicaid, you know, that would increase the price of health insurance in the US. It might hit consumers adversely, particularly in an area that's already very costly. Maybe they just decided to can that one.
Yeah, and there was no mention of follow-on special tariffs as well. They had been mooted, but he didn't mention them today. The closest that he came to something like that, that is a kind of Irish focus, was he mentioned in his list of grievances something about foreigners stealing American intellectual property, which is something that maybe he thinks that we do, because our American intellectual property lives in Irish companies and is taxed at Irish rates.
Yeah, it's a kind of an ambiguous term. I mean, were he to accuse China of the same thing, it would mean something completely different.
Yeah, true,
like industrial espionage, whereas this, you think, means the enticement to relocate the IP here, is it?
This is me squinting and trying to find something that's bad for Ireland. That would specifically apply to Ireland as opposed to the entire world. When it comes to Ireland, it strikes me that sort of two things would need to happen. The first is that he would need to actually believe everything he said today, sincerely, and for it not to be a sort of a negotiation ploy. Now, knowing Trump, both, there's kind of a good enough evidence for both. I mean, he's obviously has spent his life negotiating, making strong opening gambits and then rolling back on them. So maybe this is one of those. Also, equally, he has spent most of his life railing against tariffs. So maybe he's sincere about that. So that's the first thing. He actually would need to believe to it in his heart of hearts. And the second thing that would need to happen is for something pretty bad to happen to Ireland, he would need to weather several years of serious pain and political pain in the US with consumer confidence, inflation, slowdowns of investment, all of that. And it would all be painted as his recession. And he would need to own it and wear it for several years before big companies really change their tune.
It was interesting, and Alice, Miriam, Mark and Christina, if you could come in on this as well. When Brian the auto worker stood up, for the listeners who didn't see it, Brian the auto worker was introduced. He comes from Detroit, Michigan. He stood up, he said they supported Trump, was going to bring industry back to Detroit, and he was very gung-ho and vociferous in the support. But he said they expected to realise benefits within 6 months. Now, everybody who's talked about factories relocating and the capital investment that's required and the rejigging of supply lines, I mean, in the pharma sector, they're talking 7-8 years. Presumably, it's not as easy in the auto sector either. So, I mean, Brian, the auto worker, Mark, might be very disappointed.
Yeah, and that's for obviously President Trump to appease his base. But if you mentioned the pharma sector, for example, and how the Irish education system has orientated itself to educate and supply high-skilled workforces into the pharma sector. That can't change within 6 months, 9 months, a year or 2 years. Now, that's a whole generational approach that Ireland has taken to align with FDI that is invested into Ireland. So I don't think that a six-month intervention can be something that is achieved.
It's well beyond the midterm electoral cycle, isn't it, Alice Mary? Yeah,
it is. And I mean, I think that might be why he was, for example, introducing this slight non sequitur of the interest-based rebate on terms of cars, is that he might know that he needs to bring in some short-term measure that can be seen to give a boost, because the massive relocation plans won't happen at that scale. So that might be why that additional measure was mentioned. But in terms of pharma, yeah, I mean, we've had that. I think it was from Gareth Sheridan from one of the major companies who've been clear, you know, the timeline just doesn't add up. And also, as I said, the point I made earlier, I really think we also need to look to science research. A lot of actual pharma innovation and all of that has been built on public investment in science, the backing up of science, education in science, and simultaneous with the damage being done in terms of internally to the US by tariffs, some of the areas in which the deregulatory agenda, the kind of quite anti-science agenda that Trump has pushed, are also going to have a knockdown in some of these areas. So I actually think pharma, I don't see it moving quickly. Okay. Towards
I think it's interesting, just picking up what he said in his speech. I think he was taking a dig sort of at Japanese cars at one point, sort of calling them tiny exports, tiny cars, you know, almost. And then also coming back and giving out that Europe doesn't buy our cars. Do you know what I mean? As if, like,
it's kind of leaving out fuel efficiency and not seeing that as the barrier. And
that's exactly
tariffs,
like, if anyone's been to the United States, you know the absolute gas guzzlers that are on the roads over there. It's these huge monstrosity, you know, Chevys and all the rest that, first of all, they probably wouldn't fit on half of the European roads that are in existence. Yeah. If you're going down a road in France or Italy, like, there's reasons why, I suppose, a lot of those American imported cars just don't work for Europe, not to mention the regulations and the move, I suppose, towards green in Europe, which is just not evident when it comes to the car industry over in the United States. So it's interesting to see some of those arguments seem to be lost on them.
Okay, well, this is a good jumping off point to get to, you know, Ireland can control the controllables, but it'll also be, you know, next few phone calls will no doubt be to EU counterparts and to the Commission as well. Sarah Collins is the Business Post's Brussels correspondent. Sarah, thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Colin.
So Liberation Day has arrived, 20% tariffs on European Union goods. What's the initial reaction like in Europe?
It's very quiet so far. The European Commission has actually said it's not going to react until tomorrow morning. That might be possibly logistics because the Commission president is on her way to Uzbekistan for a summit. But they've flagged very much what their reaction will be. And it's kind of engage, prepare. So try to use the time now after these tariffs have been imposed to talk to the US and talk them down, to maybe make some offers to buy more US goods, but also to levy tariffs of their own in response to earlier tariffs the US already levied on steel and aluminium, also preparing a sort of second list depending on what Trump was going to announce tonight. The 20% on the blanket tariff, so there's no great shock.
Sorry, would you just take that again, sir, because there's a brief breakup on your line. You said the 20% tariff, is it that we don't know what it's affecting, is it? Or just repeat that if you would.
Apologies. Yeah, the 20% tariff was expected. I think the EU had expected the level. They just weren't sure whether it would be sector by sector. So far, it looks like it's a blanket tariff on everything. We'll await a little bit more detail. And I think the EU wants to get a handle on that before it responds. But it is a tariff that it was wargaming. So they will want to just let this percolate a bit before they decide what measures they might take in response. So first of all, try to make a deal. Second of all, prepare another list of retaliatory tariffs themselves.
And the focus the last time was on luxury goods produced in red states to apply political pressure. You know, the prominent personalities have kind of changed in the current cabinet. Could we, you know, has there been any word as to how that might be rejigged or what might be targeted within Brussels?
Well, I think that first list that the EU is still talking about and they haven't yet agreed, I think that Irish whiskey, for instance, and a lot of other countries, wine producers from France, are still hoping to take US bourbon off that list so they don't get hit. That list is just one kind of track the EU is going down. It's only in retaliation for the steel and aluminium tariffs that the US announced last month. The EU is actually readying something much bigger now. They have been, and they'll continue to do so in the next weeks. I don't think we'll see that probably until later in the month, but they're going bigger. They have promised anyway that they need to go bigger if the US is levying across the board tariffs of 20% on the EU. I mean, some officials have talked about including even services, US services exports
in the tech industry, is it?
So the tech industry, the pharma industry even itself, it could be anything. It could be foreign direct investment in the EU. The thing is, it's unprecedented. The EU has never done anything like this before. So it probably wants to keep the powder dry for a while and may not release all the details of that. But the reaction to what Trump has announced tonight is going to be bigger than bourbon and motorbikes.
And, you know, when people talk about keeping cool heads, we've heard some political calls for it. Is there any movement in the European Union towards a position where the European Union would simply say, look, let's not retaliate for a while. Let's see what the consumer sentiment is in the US, see what political effect that has before we decide on our next reciprocal tariffs, if we decide to implement them at all?
Yeah, I mean, I think they definitely want to give themselves some breathing room, which is why certainly on the first list of tariffs they've announced, a decision won't be taken for another, let's say, 10 days on that. They'll definitely consult with, you know, the Taoiseach, with other foreign and trade ministers to see what the temperature is tomorrow, Friday. Foreign ministers will meet in Luxembourg on Monday to kind of take the temperature as well of these tariffs. But the EU does want to show a strong hand. They, I think, believe, and probably rightly so, that Trump only responds to almost threats, you know, and to when you put a firm hand on the table. So he sees he's winning something and you threaten him with something. And I think that's the attitude they're taking. Show strength, but do still have talks behind the scenes and in public as well.
OK, and what, I mean, looking at the varying interests of European countries, will it be difficult to maintain a united position? Because I suppose by contrast to the Brexit situation, we're dealing with a stronger trading partner and a different type of relationship than the one the EU is hammering out with the smaller, weaker UK.
Yeah, I think it is very different to Brexit in the sense that every country feels it has its existential products that may be affected. For Ireland, it's pharma and tech. For France, it's, you know, it's food, to an extent cars. For Germany, it's cars. Slovakia, I was talking to a Slovakian diplomat the other day. They fear that their GDP is going to fall by 2.5% because they produce a lot of car parts. So it is, you know, existential for a lot of countries, but I'm interested to see that no prime ministers or presidents or EU leaders have yet reacted. They're waiting for the EU first. And I think the Taoiseach and Taoiseach, who have reacted already, have said EU unity is paramount. We can't be seen to be kind of fighting each other over this. And because the Commission also has competence in trade, they're the ones leading on it. It's a Slovak called Maroš Šefčovič who will be doing the negotiations.
Sure, we know him well from the Brexit. We all learned how to pronounce the
we
S
do.
And the C with the little symbol over it during his time. Sarah, thanks a million for that. And seeing as you mentioned those statements there, the Taoiseach statement issued this evening says Ireland believes in an open and free trade and that the imposition of tariffs is bad for the world economy. I deeply regret the US decision to impose 20% tariffs on imports from across the European Union. We see no justification for this. More than 4.2 billion of goods and services are traded between the EU and US daily. Disrupting this deeply integrated relationship benefits no one. Tariffs drive inflation, hurt people on both sides of the Atlantic and put jobs at risk. We'll reflect with our EU partners on how best to proceed, and EU unity is crucial. The Sinn Féin leader, Mary Lou MacDonald, says, my priority is to defend Irish national interests. That means safeguarding jobs, helping Irish businesses to grow in global markets, and ensuring the all-Ireland economy continues to grow at pace. The government needs to do better at what is within their control, supporting domestic businesses, investing in infrastructure and sorting out housing. Getting these things right has never been more important. The Taoiseach says he deeply regrets the announcement of tariffs by the President Trump tonight. There are no winners when it comes to tariffs. They're bad for consumers. They put jobs at risk. The government has been actively preparing for this possibility for some time, and we'll do what we can to influence whilst drawing on unity with our EU partners. There's a flavour of some of those statements there. Nothing unexpected in any of those statements, Christina.
Yeah, largely what was being said this week, you know, a lot of, you know, that the status quo won't really exist after tonight's announcement, that it's the uncertainty really that's been damaging, I suppose, up until now. And I think it's right to see what will come out of that meeting in Luxembourg, which the Taoiseach Simon Harris will be attending, because I do know he has been working over the last week or so, having calls specifically with EU countries that have commonalities in terms of, you know, the pharma industry. Almost like there's a couple of countries that are working together in blocks, because it's not just the US they have to sort of deal with. Once there's obviously a lot of nations in the EU, a lot of differing points of view about what way they should react. And Micheál Martin and the Taoiseach have been quick to say, look, we shouldn't do anything out of anger and spite that will ultimately, you know, damage us in the long run. So I think Ireland is trying to, you know, get pally, I suppose, with other nations that have similar skin in the game to ensure that any sort of reciprocal tariff that is imposed on the US doesn't actually end up shooting us in the foot in the long term.
Okay. Sean, any recommendations on how Ireland would make its voice heard there? You know, the 25% auto tariffs is going to affect France. It's going to affect Italy, Germany, Spain, some of the Eastern Europeans, Czechia, for example, as well. You know, any country basically producing cars, that'll be a big focus. It's already an industry in difficulty in Europe. So amidst that din, how does Ireland make its voice heard for its core sectors?
Yeah, and the worry would be that we're somewhat on the outs with our European partners over the technology industry, over taxation, and that's our number one priority, would be the protection of technology companies, digital services. So
that's a difficult tightrope, isn't it?
It's a difficult tightrope, and it's a situation where you've got one small EU country which is the home of this, probably the European home of America's flagship industry, which has massively overweight relative to its size, in terms of the strength of this industry in Europe. So yeah, I don't know. I think that the politics of that might potentially be tricky. Might that be something the Commission would look at as a weight that would hurt America a lot, without hurting as such a broad constituency of Europeans, let's say. I don't know. I'm speculating here, obviously.
Right.
But that's the kind of thing I would be worried about.
Where gold is apparently exempt, the White House fact sheet is saying, according to Reuters, the German chemical industry has reacted on Wednesday, calling for the EU to keep a cool head in response to US tariffs, warning that a spiral of escalation would only increase the damage. And the Scotch Whisky Association says it's disappointed that the companies it's represented could be impacted by the 10% tariff imposed on US imports of UK goods announced by US President Donald Trump. Well, at least you're not Irish whiskey, I suppose, you could argue. Just on the diplomacy of that, Mark, and, you know, trying to protect Ireland's position when it comes to coming to a common EU position, how do you think that's going to play out? What would your advice be?
Well, I think that it's important to note that Ireland has come in line in terms of the corporate tax rate and has made strides towards alignment across the EU. But the US decisions to invest in Ireland is a multitude of reasons. There's deep cultural historical links. There's a highly skilled workforce, English speaking country within the EU, geographically very close to it. So there's a whole host of different factors that play into America's
investment. I'm going to interrupt you, and I'm sorry about this, but does anyone want to hear some good news? Okay. Some goods will not be subject to the reciprocal tariff. These include articles subject to 50 USC 1702B, steel, aluminium articles, and autos, auto parts, already subject to Section 232 tariff. So, in other words, they're already covered. Copper, pharmaceuticals, semiconductors, and lumber articles. And all articles that may become subject to future Section 232 tariffs, bullion, exempt as we said just there, and energy and other certain minerals that are not available in the United States. Sorry, Mark, so just on hearing that, what's your reaction to that?
I think that's very positive. Thank you for sharing.
Good day
news.
For Ballina.
Great day for Mayo. And we've 5,000 employees in Mayo that are employed by FDI, and obviously that supports whole communities, whole knock-on businesses. So that's obviously a very, very positive measure. But in terms of how we work to, you know, strengthen this across the EU, Brexit is obviously a good example of how we worked as a whole bloc in this in a challenging, threatening circumstance. I think we need to do the same. That while the pharmaceutical you know, a win, I suppose, for us here is positive, we need to still work across the European Union to make sure that it's good outcomes for the bloc.
All right. Presumably, Alice Mary Higgins, as a Galway woman, you welcome that news, and given the amount of pharma investment that's in the city?
No, I think it's very good news in terms of for pharma, given that it's such a huge employer across Ireland. But I do think still in the medium term, because they've said these are, they've indicated that maybe subject to future. So it sounds like, you know, the door is not fully closed in terms of tariffs in this area. And I do think that the need to diversify, the need to invest in indigenous industries, the need to build up on that expertise Ireland now has in the pharma area and support innovation from within Ireland and across with partners across Europe, I think that also will stand, because we do have a huge exposure in terms of the major companies here. The next wave of innovation needs to be more indigenous and more linked to our European partners.
Sean, if that exemption and all of those exemptions that I've just listed are a response to considerations about consumer sensitivity, and that is that encouraging in terms of the logic behind these tariffs, that maybe they're not primarily driven by Donald Trump's four decades old attachment to tariffs, and we could maybe come away from the madman theory on this, and they are actually the baseline for some kind of negotiation over food products, auto, those kind of things?
I think it's encouraging. It tells you about the politics of it, doesn't it? Someone obviously got in his ear and lobbied over the last few months and got this exemption for their industries. And I mean, I saw somewhere, this is one of the largest tax increases in US history. And normally American...
But maybe to fund a tax cut, which would be more worrying. If this is the revenue-raising measure that's going to fund a cut to income tax, that means these tariffs are far stickier than people would hope.
Yeah, I just don't see it. And in times like this of uncertainty, I kind of look at stock prices and I try to find, like, what's the thing we're talking about? What's the stock that's most exposed to it? And what are they? How are they responding? And I was, like, scanning through all these recently and, like, looking at, you know, the European firms that do the most exporting to the US, like BAE Systems, because they're an arms manufacturer, so it's complicated. But, you know, American big tech firms, big pharma firms, just the US stock market in general, the European stock market indexes in general, they're all fine. They're all like a little bit off their highs. The European stock market is a little bit off its all-time high. It's down by about sort of 10% from where it was a month ago. And if what we're talking about here, like this big, the big board of big numbers, that's pretty serious stuff. Like if that were to stick and if that were enduring, that would be a dramatic slowdown to the US and world economy. So, but the stock markets aren't really saying that's going to happen. I just feel like this is too mad. He's got too few backers. He doesn't have the support of even his own cabinet on this. He doesn't have the support of the Congress on this. This is him and maybe one or two advisors out on a limb. And the consequences will be too severe. I don't think he's going to follow through.
Bit more reaction from interest groups and indeed from listeners. In an initial reaction to the announcement of tariffs by US President Donald Trump, the IFA, that's the Irish Farmers Organization, said the relative differences will impact the competitiveness of Irish products on the US market, including Kerrygold, and the fact that New Zealand has a 10% tariff for dairy products and the UK only has a 10% tariff on drinks, while the EU have a 20% tariff, will leave us at a competitive disadvantage against some of our biggest competitors in these two sectors. I did say at the outset we'd look at sort of the indirect effect on other markets. In Ireland's own backyard, both for political reasons with the cross-border trade and the UK market in terms of its importance, Christina, it's kind of good news that the UK is only been hit with 10%.
Yeah, I definitely think they'll be welcoming that. And then when you cast your mind back to sort of Brexit and all the rest, I'm sure they're pretty happy that the EU are getting the 20% and they're getting the 10%. I think you're probably going to see conversations a lot about what that means for us and Northern Ireland and the border and businesses that operate and what sort of impact that might have on trade and consumer sentiment on both sides of the border and what that means. I think that will probably be a whole conversation for another day. But I definitely think it will throw up some sort of discussion about how that's going to balance out.
Okay. Israel getting hit with 17%. Occupied territories, Bill, eat your heart out, Alice Mary Higgins. Who would have seen that one coming?
Well, I mean, right across the board, you look to where the measures are being hit. And again, you know, the Occupied Territories Bill is quite a different thing, of course,
because it's based on the principles.
But what I do think is we do need to look right across. You saw South Africa has been hit by 30%. You see, you know, Japan is hit by 24%. So we, you know, there's some very big economies that are also being hit by more than Europe has been hit by.
Okay.
And some of them are countries which are going to be important partners, I think, for Ireland in the next few years.
I think you're going to see big trade missions definitely from, I think, the Taoiseach and Tánaiste show will be going to the Expo exhibition in Japan. I think it's in July and August. I suspect you're going to see...
They better be doing them on the Concorde if there's no pairing arrangements.
But I think there'll be a lot of... you know, that sort of seeking out opportunities in different areas, especially if you're talking about Japan and all the rest being hit at 24%, you know, people are going to start looking elsewhere and where the opportunities are.
Let's get a bit of listener reaction. In respect of public-private health industry, how will this be affected? Currently, the high cost of cancer drugs and private hospital fees are a huge cost. Will we see a soar in price hikes? And will this impact the public hospitals as people may be unable to afford the cost of private health care if there are further increases? I don't know. I think maybe the pharmaceutical exemption might answer that if you're talking about the American hospitals. The EU is stupidly attacking Russia and China. BRICS is rising. We ought to diversify Ireland's portfolio, says Gordon Lucas by WhatsApp, 087-032-3232. China holds billions upon billions of US debt. What happens if China calls in that debt, asks another listener. The late debate, can we benefit from our Brexit arrangements in Northern Ireland and ship everything via Northern Ireland at the 10% tariff, asks another listener. Russia doesn't appear to be on the list of reciprocal tariffs, says Anya in Mayo. Maybe that's because they're isn't that much trade at the moment, given the sanctions that are in place, but it's not on the list we've seen, right enough. Time for the Republic of Ireland to rejoin these other republics that are members of the Commonwealth and work to build up its trade links, says Des in Phibsborough, and the EU should get last list of countries and pick up the phone and hammer out new trade deals elsewhere, says John. Brief thought on that. Christina, we've heard Mercosur has been, you know, on the table for a while. There's the it's good for chemical trade into South America and Latin America. It's good for auto trade. It's good for the, you know, a lot of sectors. Ireland's objection to it is primarily on beef, which is dwarfed by the size of the, you know, other sectors of the European economy. Can we expect that to be revisited?
Yeah, it was
something
that Micheál Martin did raise in the Dáil, I think, yesterday. You know, he was giving out to some of the opposition, you know, for going against that deal. But then in the same breath, he did say...
CETA was one he raised as well. Yeah,
that, you know, there is, you know, trade deals that are trade already happening with all these nations. So, like, as you said, I definitely think there will be looking to other nations to strike up these deals. But like speaking to people in government, and you would think, you know, what that listener said about picking up the phone to other countries and getting those trade agreements over the line. Like the problem is, especially with EU, like things work so slowly. Like, do you know what I mean? Maybe this will light a fire under, you know, the red tape and the bureaucracy of it all. But I have my doubts that things, you know, that this will oil the wheels and make things move faster. Things tend to move quite slowly at EU level.
It's good to see that. It's good to see the border smuggler mentality is still very much alive and well in Ireland. Jameson plus 20%, Bushmills plus 10%, says Dahi. That's, you know, I don't know whether he's thinking of the same mechanism of shipping stuff through Northern Ireland there. Surely the discrepancy in the UK and EU tariff rate will lead to more hassle now north of the border, seeing as there in the EU customs area due to the Windsor Agreement. Sean, do you want to have a stab at that?
I think it's completely legit. It probably is good for Northern Ireland. Like, I mean, obviously that's on the assumption this all sticks and turns into an enduring thing, but this is the sort of place that Northern Ireland has carved out for itself now as a little entrepot in that's one foot in the UK, one foot in Europe, one foot outside in the lower tariff zone and the higher tariff zone, all... and with the ability
they'll be doing a reverse of Ian Paisley's argument that Northern Irish cattle should be They should all be considered Irish instead of considered British during the BSE crisis. Listen, we have to take a short break. We're going to get back with business in the Oireachtas after this.
The Late Debate with Cullum O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.